listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We're going to analyze and we're going to interpret. Well, not really interpret. We're going to analyze as objectively, logically, and rationally as we can our own lives, the lives of the people around us, the lives of the nation that we live in, and the lives of planet Earth that we live in. We're going to analyze it. Except we're not going to analyze it with a bias. We're not going to analyze it with prejudicial thought. We're going to analyze it rationally, logically, objectively, without bias, because that's the only way you can receive the truth or derive the truth, if you will. You know, as I've said to you many times before, one of my primary, I have about three or four primary, what I call spiritual fathers. And these were men that I either worked closely with or I worked with their families, or in some cases, the relationship was really more of an academic correspondence mentorship. But these men had an enormous amount of good influence on my life. And I often mention Dr. Francis Schaeffer, and even saying his name, and I have his book in my studio, The Complete Works of Francis Schaeffer, A Christian Worldview. And there's like six or seven of these complete works of Francis Schaeffer, big, thick leather volume books. And they compile the totality of his biblical, theological worldview along with scientific worldview, etc. And you know, it was shortly after he died. I'm talking about shortly after he died. I would go into Christian bookstores. I would go into Christian college bookstores especially. And not only did the professors not know who Francis Schaeffer was, the students did. The bookstores forgot him. And it was only, you know, a few years after his death that the evangelical bookselling convention or whatever and all those entities completely forgot the guy. And this was no obscure guy. I mean, he was in the White House constantly visiting different presidents because I think it was Newsweek, as Newsweek magazine said of him, that he was the guru of fundamentalist evangelical Christianity. Now, they were using the words to be snotty, you know, guru. But the point is, Schaeffer was a brilliant man and well-read and deeply knowledgeable about not only theology, the Bible, the Genesis to the Book of Revelation, but Dr. Francis Schaeffer was a genius when it came to understanding philosophy, science, filmmaking, popular culture, sexuality, the family, and on and on and on. The man was brilliant. He was brilliant because he was robust. People, I don't know if people even know what the word robust means anymore. I do know, and much to his credit, you know, whenever I hear this guy, I like, for the most part, Mark Levin. I like Mark Levin because the reason he's passionate, and I'm passionate, but he's passionate, and I understand why he's passionate. He's passionate because he's done his homework. He's exhaustively studied his subject. He's extremely well-read. He's done his homework impeccably. And when you've done that level of impeccable research, and then somebody tries to confront you with some kind of ridiculous argument, you may, you know, volley a discharge of powerful emotion. But it's powerful emotion not because you're having a temper tantrum. It's powerful emotion because you did your homework, and the person that is pretending to debate you is also pretending like they did their homework. But his passion is a byproduct of his knowledge of the truth. If Christians learned that in America, we would have a revival in America in a matter of months. Because you see, when people really know the truth, the byproduct is always revival. They're so convinced, not like a cult, not like some kind of brainwashing group, but so convinced of the truth and the reality of the Bible on every level of life, the byproduct is incredible passion and commitment to spreading that truth. I know in my own life, you know, I've spent so much time reading, researching, studying, not only the Bible, not only people like Francis Schaeffer, but scientists, psychologists, and experts in all kinds of fields. So whatever field that I'm writing on, speaking on, or dealing with, whether it's what so some people would erroneously call a conspiracy theory, or whether it's a strong argument in my belief in the biblical teaching of the creation story of evolution. You see, when you are immersed in true truth, that means that truth which is true, that gives you an overwhelming confidence, and it just shows up in your inner man. It also gives you an enormous amount of staying power, an enormous amount of passion, an enormous amount of, willingness and desire to be a spiritual warrior, because you're unmovable and you're unshakable, not because you're some dogmatic, rigid fool, but because you did your homework. That's what I like about Levin. He's not necessarily a born-again Christian, but he approaches life from that position. Okay, so what happened? Because something happened, and we've touched on this in this program many, many times. What happened was the equivalent of literally, and I don't mean to make little of this, what happened was the equivalent of some kind of horrible attack on the United States or something. And it was done completely in the open. Nobody was hiding it. And the reason the people that promoted this revolution, if you will, against God and the things of God, the people that promoted that radical leftist atheist worldview, the people that promoted that, they didn't promote it because of their superior intellectual power, or that they really knew their subject, or they really did their research. They were able to promote it and make it the dominant or predominant worldview in not only our colleges, our high schools, and our media, etc., but this new breed of socialists, what I expose in numerous of my books, like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World. I expose the reality of what historians call the Frankfurt School Marxists. I talk about it in detail. The secret trail I reveal in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World. But it's bigger than that. This trail of Fabian socialists, this trail of closet Marxists, this trail of intellectual and occult or Luciferian elite that took over the major power centers of societies around the world, they have indeed, at least in the temporal sense, they have indeed placed themselves in a position of intellectual domination and rulership of our society. And I want to use words that are that blunt, that disturbing, and that much in your face. this intellectual elite, these trained Marxist revolutionaries, these humanist revolutionaries, they have accepted a dogma which they have invented. And their goal, when you read, see, here's the problem. Very few people are reading the writings that the other side are publishing. They're not watching the TV, they're not listening to the radio, they're not reading the books, they're not reading the articles of the other side. And that goes both ways, by the way. And so what we have is a small percentage of society. And I've talked about this before, I'm going to talk about it now, but it is imperative and essential that you master this subject. If you master this subject, you will be a mighty and powerful spiritual warrior, whether it's a female spiritual warrior or a male spiritual warrior. You will be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, because you will have done your homework, the preparation, and the training. If you neglect to study, to train, to research, and your knowledge of this is minuscule and superficial, you're going to be taken down very hard. And not only will you be taken down, the lives of millions and millions of other people, perhaps billions of other people on planet Earth, their lives will eventually be taken down. Now, this whole premise that I'm laying out to you should not even be something we're putting on the table to discuss. Because you see, if Christians, and by that I mean evangelical Christians, biblical Christians, if Christians were even remotely attempting to obey God and live under the true lordship of Jesus Christ, which means Jesus Christ is Lord of not only their salvation theology, but Jesus Christ is Lord of science, literature, economics, sexuality, the family, every aspect of life Jesus Christ is Lord of, not just some tiny compartmentalized spiritual world. So, you see, these people, these radical humanists, these Marxists, these socialists, about 200 years ago or more, it was coming down the train track out in the open with a diesel blaring. Anybody who was any kind of thinker or reader or teacher or whatever, or leader, they were all exposed to the fact, they were all aware of the fact that a juggernaut was coming that was going to change America, Europe, and Western civilization, and planet Earth forever and ever and ever until the Lord comes. And this is what it was, and this is what it is. Now, if evangelical Christians were living under the lordship of Jesus Christ like they claim to be doing, they would never have gone along with all this nonsense, which they indeed did. They simply went, they went with the flow. They went along with all the nonsense. They did very little to oppose it, to debate it, to slow it down, to expose it for what it was, which is false teaching and fraudulent thinking. Christians knew this stuff, this garbage, this poison was coming down the tracks, and they did nothing. And by the way, they continue to do nothing up until this present day. So when you read Francis Schaeffer in his books, like a true watchman on the wall, like a true prophet of the Old Testament. You know, Francis Schaeffer, I think you could call him a prophet. But Francis Schaeffer did not prophesy because he had little Holy Spirit goosebumps on him from time to time which painted rosy pictures in his head, and he just uttered forth poetic, you know, prophetic statements. That was not Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer was a brilliant man who spent countless hours in prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord, along with his wife, Edith Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer studied not only the Bible intensively, but he studied philosophy, art, painting, literature, economics, government, law, on and on and on. So Francis Schaeffer had a deep, deep, deep understanding of all categories of life. And it was in that enormous download of knowledge that Francis Schaeffer walked in that allowed God to use him like God has used very few of his people in history, very few. Because Francis Schaeffer was not a false prophet. What he prophesied came true. Okay, so what's the bottom line again? What's the problem? Problem, you know, the best way I can summarize the problem is to relate to you a personal story that I've shared in part before, but to tell it to you again. Because by relating this very short story, it basically illustrates what I'm talking about. When my wife and I first arrived from another state, originally we were in Manhattan, New York City, but then we came to California to be in the movie business. I came to continue to produce science fiction feature films in Hollywood. She came to continue being an actress in Hollywood. We had met in New York City on Broadway a number of years earlier. Now, I remember that what Schaeffer was always talking about was he said, regarding what he called the Great Evangelical Disaster. I think that was the name of one of his books or his son Frankie Schaeffer's book, The Great Evangelical Disaster. And in this book, and in the messages at the time that his father and his son Frankie were giving and writing and speaking, now today Dr. Francis Schaeffer has gone on to be with the Lord. Frankie Schaeffer has gone on to do whatever he's doing in terms of being an artist, a filmmaker, a writer. And I have some personal questions on some of his theological statements, but that would have to wait for another program. Because that's a subject matter in and of itself. Okay, so here's the point. What Schaeffer kept saying was that the evangelical Christian church and the evangelical Christian leadership, including the professors, the seminarians, the evangelical ministries, yeah, media, everything evangelical, the entire evangelical culture, including megachurches and megapastors and the whole thing, Francis Schaeffer basically said, and I believe that was an accurate and fair assessment, that the problem with the evangelical culture is that it had accommodated, I think he used the word twice in the opening of his book, that the evangelical church has accommodated. But what does the word accommodate mean? The word accommodate means that the evangelical church and its leadership in the time of our greatest crisis, which was also going on and ramping up right before Schaeffer's death, the great evangelical crisis was the fact that God used the evangelical movement mightily and exceptionally throughout the history of the Christian church. The whole historical saga about how the strong evangelical and Bible-believing Christians who were the Pilgrims and Puritans who escaped religious persecution in England and came to the United States, you know, in the giant sailing ships and established colonies of Pilgrims and Puritans. And they were total believers in the literal Word of God, but they were also educationally outstandingly brilliant in science and mathematics and physics and languages and everything else. The evangelical Pilgrims and Puritans, they had such a spiritually and biblically superior culture that it was not common for the very young Pilgrim and Puritan, even at the youngest of ages, to know like multiple languages and to be fluent in interpreting the Bible in all those languages. So it was uncommon for Pilgrim and Puritan boys and girls to be fully fluent in things like Greek, Hebrew, Latin, English, and other languages. Not only that, they knew historical history. They knew the history of empires. They knew philosophical history and idea history. And they were so aggressively educated and aggressively intelligent that all of the other founding fathers that grew up in deist households or Freemasonic households or Illuminati Rosicrucian households, their parents sent the founding fathers who were not Christians to the Pilgrim and Puritan Christian schools because they knew that their children in the Pilgrim and Puritan schools would receive the best education, one of the best educations available anywhere in the world. Definitely the best education in the United States, but for all practical purposes, perhaps the best education at that point anywhere in the world. So that when they came to form our unique government in the USA with freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, and all the other freedoms, all of that was an outflow of the incredible ability that the Pilgrims and Puritans had to integrate properly and truthfully biblical truth with like natural law, government, creativity, science, etc., etc. Now, at this point, hypothetically, everybody listening to this program, Paul McGuire Report, I did it myself. I did it very quietly. But after the last sentence, I took a deep breath, not because I planned to, and I paused, and it was like the words that I had just said hung in the air, and I was like, what I had said had reached a crescendo, but the important point was not that I said it, that's irrelevant. The important point was is that I was just talking, and I didn't plan for this to happen, but as I was just talking, I believe the Holy Spirit brought the truth of what I was saying to a crescendo, to an emphasis point, and let it hang there, allowing God's people to digest it, to think about it, because it's such a powerful statement. It's not powerful because I said it. It's powerful because it's an historical truth regarding the States of America and why the USA is great, different than the nation. So, Schaefer over and over again would challenge evangelical Christians and their institutions for being apostate. Apostate means to fall away from the biblical truth. And he accused the evangelicals of entering the great apostasy, of surrendering truth to lies, theological error, Eastern mysticism, New Age thought, etc., etc. All which is true. Everything that Francis Schaeffer said, and he observed, all of it was true. The evangelical church was free-falling, who knows where, into some cavity in the earth somewhere, because they had rejected biblical truth. They had rejected the truth of God's word in multiple places in life. And because they rejected the truth of God's word in multiple places of life, the same thing that always happens when God's people collectively choose to reject the truth of God's word in multiple places in life, it's always the same end game. It's always the same destination point. And what it is, simply like this, Adam and Eve were told by God not to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. The serpent came along and was indwelt by Satan, and he seduced Eve to get Adam to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. She seduced Adam to reject the word of God and eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden and ignore God's warning that in the day that you do, you shall surely die. So they made the definitive choice to reject the word of God, to disobey the word of God. And whenever mankind does that, that activates the law of sin and death. It activates a curse that's placed by God on man. And so Adam and Eve activated the curse of the death force when they disobeyed God's word. They began to die, and they began to pass this death force into the entire human race. But what caused it was their rejection of God's word and the simultaneous acceptance of the lies of man, age, and health, etc. It began in Eden. It's the story of the children of Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. And it's the story of modern evangelical Christianity. Because you see, after God has blessed us so richly, God has enriched us materially, God has given so much to us, God has been so good to us. So we're like, we were experiencing a degree of a mountaintop experience, only to find the whole thing blow up in our faces because we chose, or at least at first Adam and Eve chose, to reject the word of God, which releases a curse on the pilgrims and Puritans of Christ. And that is known as, theologically, as the fall of man. So here we are, thousands and thousands of years from the Garden of Eden, fall of man. And we are in the time zone, which I call, in my latest book, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And I explain in that like 400-page book, whatever. I explain in that book that the most important thing is the ideas, the beliefs that we have as human beings, and that when we accept wrong beliefs, wrong ideas, it will always produce wrong consequences and destructive consequences. Always. There's no wiggle room for that. So while great men, and they're such a minority of great men, by the way, while great men like Dr. Francis Schaeffer clearly, this man could have taught the highest level courses at any Ivy League university in the United States. But he would not back down off of his primary foundational beliefs, which were that the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, is God's inspired, absolute, and authoritative Word of God. It is our final authority. And humanism, no matter how it represents itself to us, which consists of man-made ideas and philosophies, or New Age philosophies, humanism will always lead man astray and release a curse on the human race. That's what we've seen played out in a variety of ways since the Garden of Eden. Now, in a moment, I want to expose to you how titanic a shift, a force of individual and collective ideas have when those ideas are first embraced by some kind of elite, and then they're sowed into the hearts and minds of mankind, and how that can convulsively rip up an entire world and open the gates of hell that would allow our world to be invaded by the demonic and that which the demonic carries, which is a curse. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We are, let's just say it for what it is. We are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. That means each one of us. And I know that you would not be serious about Jesus Christ. The reason I know that you are is because you listen to this program on a daily basis. Believe me, you would not be listening to this program on a daily basis if the Holy Spirit was not alive and well in you. You wouldn't seek out the things of God. So, the critical thing here is that you and I are people that prioritize the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. You and I are people that attempt to obey the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are people who attempt to prioritize winning souls. That's what it's all about. And so you and I are also people who take the Bible seriously, and we read the Bible seriously. You see, this is not about bragging or arrogance, but the reality is that the majority of people who call themselves Christians never read their Bible, never read Revelation, never read the Old Testament or the New Testament. They're biblically powerless. Yet, if we were to read our Bibles in numerous places, especially in the beginning and the end, we would notice that God in His Word, the Bible, very clearly guides us about what we're to be doing in the last days and what our personal assignment is in the last days. And so right now, all over America, all through the internet, all through social media, all through every kinds of electronic Wi-Fi, 5G communication system ever designed by man, there's an electromagnetic frequency blast that consists of multiple dimensions of knowledge, of wisdom, of history, of understanding, of science, biology, etc., etc. And in all of this, you keep hearing our news media referring to chaos, American chaos, chaos, chaos. And this is where we picked up yesterday. Over and over again, we heard the media, the mainstream media, describe what was happening in America and Europe and around the world as American chaos. And then they would show all the video news feeds of the American chaos. And I wanted to point out to you, all of you who are regular listeners to the Paul McGuire Report, I wanted to remind you something that I've been teaching to you and sharing with you and writing about it in my books for decades. And as I've said to you many times before, when you master and fully understand the occult principles and formulas, the symbols, when you fully know how to understand and appropriate occult demonic power, not that you would ever want to do that, But when you understand it, at least, as a force to be contended with, then you can enter the spiritual battle, and you don't have to rely on demonic power. You can rely on a superior power, and that is the supernatural power of God, the dunamis or dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And then you and I can walk in the authority that Jesus Christ has already given us, where we have the power to bind and loose evil spirits in this world. We have been given the supernatural power to rule and reign in planet Earth until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at his second coming. And when Christ returns at his second coming, he will come back on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven riding white horses. And on Christ's white horse, it will say, "Faithful and True." And Jesus will be leading the armies of heaven, followed by the armies of heaven, white horses. And Jesus Christ will be like galloping from a dimension beyond time and space, the spiritual world. He will be galloping as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from the visible realm into the physical realm, and he will descend upon the Valley of Megiddo to engage Satan, Lucifer, the false prophet, all those who accept the mark of the beast. Jesus Christ will invade them with his heavenly armies and his angelic armies, and he will destroy them. He will overcome them in the War of Armageddon. And all those that followed Lucifer, Lucifer himself, the false prophet, the Antichrist, etc., all those who followed Lucifer will be sentenced into the lake of fire, cosmic prison for all eternity, forever and ever. And all those who, with an act of their will, chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, chose to obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, chose to reject the mark of the beast and not accept a microchip implant, all of those people who obey Jesus Christ will be rewarded. Their names will be written in the book of life. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them of all sin. And they will go where they chose to go. They put their faith in Jesus to cleanse them of all their sin. They put their faith in Jesus and ask Jesus to make them born again. Well, yes, they're saved. They're born again. They've been cleansed by all sin by the blood of Jesus through faith in Christ. And God has delivered them from death and from the lake of fire and from hell. And it's at this time, at the end of the age, where the armies of heaven come down on the demonic armies, the Antichrist, the false prophet, those that accepted the mark of the beast, and they are destroyed, or at the very least, they're sent to the lake of fire for all eternity, which you can't get out of. And then all those who accepted Jesus Christ, ask Christ to forgive them of their sin, ask Christ to make them born again, all these people are God's children. They have been forgiven by God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by faith, they have made themselves new men and new women in Christ Jesus. And they're going to build heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Now, in a moment, I'm going to share with you, not a long thing, but in a moment, I'm going to share with you a short but powerful series of truths that is so potent, that is so powerful, that it will rock your world and change your life forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you master, you'll hear me keep saying this, if you'll master this truth, which means you'll own the truth, not just play with it, if you'll own this truth, you too will be a force to be contended with. Your entire life will change. And God will use you mightily. And you won't have to be a religious nut. You won't have to be a religious fruitcake could just count on the fact that God will use you mightily. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. You may be listening in Sweden, France, Germany, Great Britain, Italy, South America, North America, the USA, Asia. You may be listening anywhere on planet Earth, in any time zone. So I want to thank you for listening, because I realize that some of you are living in a time zone that is upside down from me. I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles. You could be in Taiwan. And I don't know what time it is in Taiwan, but it's not uncommon when we communicate globally like this that our time zones could be upside down. So I want to bring this to your attention again, where we are, okay? Oftentimes Christians don't know where we are because Christians have a mortal Achilles heel. That is, they steadfastly refuse to study, to research, and do their homework. And as such, they suffer the consequences. It's what Schaeffer's rebukes were always about. Okay, so where are we now, and where do we go from here? Over the last numbers of years, we have experienced a storm of political and economic warfare, you could say, over the last number of months. We have experienced, again, massive changes in our governance, in our economy, et cetera, et cetera. And if you study history properly, and by that I mean, if you really study history, and that means not the Dummies Digest. So, for example, I give a summary of history in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, where I start with the Pilgrims and Puritans coming over to America, and I end with the last days and the riots and diseases and autoimmune pandemics. And by the way, this came out 2 months before the coronavirus. So many of the things that I warned about in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, even though it was published about 2 months before everything erupted, it essentially contains warnings that are very accurate about what was coming, what is to come. And I have no false prophecies in this book that I've authored. Thank God. Thank God for his grace. And I have no false prophecies written in all my other books. Again, I thank God and God's grace. What you have is, in this book and my other books, I don't claim to be a, quote, prophet, capital P. I accept the fact that God has given me and other people prophetic gifts. But those are largely based on research and study and prayer and Bible study and historical study, etc., etc. So the key here is, and I don't say this with boasting, because that would lead to pride, and pride comes with a fall, and that's too painful. So I hopefully will be intelligent enough to avoid that. So I want to read you something from my book, The Greatest Battle, which you absolutely need to get. And what you should get is like at least five of them or four of them. We have a whole bunch of book bundles, so you get discounts on all of my books right now. Big discounts if you go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And if you get a book bundle, you can share it in a Bible study. But most pastors are not going to teach this stuff. They're going to teach, you know, Pillsbury Doughboy. You know what happens with the Pillsbury Doughboy. He walks into the kitchen or something in a TV commercial, and the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, parents and everything reach out and they put their finger in his belly button. They tickle him. You know, he does the that. I don't want to make an idiot out of myself, so I'm not going to do my rendition of Pillsbury Doughboy laughter. But he giggles, and it's cute. And you want to make you after seeing the commercial, you want to bake a pan of biscuits immediately. Well, evangelical Christians are not supposed to be male or female form Pillsbury Doughboys or women that have no sound-mindedness, no will of their own, and giggle like little idiots if you tickle them. That is not supposed to be our core identity. Just a reminder. Spiritual warfare. Okay, so here's my book, The Greatest Battle. I want you to get multiple copies as an incentive. I give multiple discounts if you get multiple copies. Why? Because I want more people to read it. And I need people like you to study it together. And it's not hard to understand. Okay, so I'm going to read you something. Spiritual War for America in 1600. 1600 AD. This is on chapter, page 292 of my book, The Greatest Battle, okay? Quote, at the same time, strong Bible-believing pilgrims and Puritans who loved God's word and were deep students of not only the Old Testament but the New Testament understood that God had a prophetic call on their lives here in America, but also a prophetic call on the nation of America. Now, see, the pilgrims and Puritans got it. The evangelicals, for the most part, don't get it. We can see the very early years of the founding of America in the 1600s, a great spiritual battle beginning to surge for the future of America. Now, that's interesting. The Pilgrims and Puritans were in the great spiritual battle regarding the future of America in the early 1600s. Those are the exact same words I use. And I talk about now in my ministry, but we're in, you know, a long way from the Pilgrims and Puritans. But I have books like A Prophecy of the Future of America or The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And in all of these books that I've written, along with others, which you can get at paulmcguire.us at a discount, I'm constantly talking about the future of America. And that God has a future plan for America. That's what the Pilgrims and Puritans taught and believed. It was only for a period of about 100 years between then and now that many, many evangelical Christians threw that truth out, that God has a supernatural plan and a prophetic call for America. So now I quote Manly P. Hall. He is an occult expert. He is up there with the most powerful of the occult elite alive on planet Earth. And this is what he says. He talks about the French, the Dutch, and the English empires, and how they sailed their ships on the Atlantic seaboard of the U.S., and that specifically the English program, okay, was secretly headed up by Sir Francis Bacon. So the so-called Pilgrims and Puritans, who were in fact strong Bible-believing Christians and students of the Bible, this great spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind in the history of the world, which is the book I'm reading to you now from, there was a secret battle you never hear about in Christian schools. Why? Or Christian colleges. Why? Or universities or anywhere. It's a secret that's hidden. They don't want you to know. You've heard the story of the Pilgrims and Puritans. It's a good story. Most of it's true. But There was a conspiracy back then. Sorry for using the word conspiracy, but it happens to be true. And this is what was happening. There was a guy named Sir Francis Bacon, who was like the father of the modern scientific method. He was in England, in the premier glory days of England. He was the spiritual counselor to Queen Elizabeth. He was one of the most brilliant men in all the world. In fact, some people thought or suspected that he could have been William Shakespeare. That was never proven, but that's how intense this guy's intellect was. But the irony about Sir Francis Bacon was that although he was one of the most powerful occult leaders in the world, he communicated with demonic angels. He was a scientific genius. Yet at the same time as being a scientific genius, he was a Eastern mystic, a occult and satanic practitioner of the highest order. And you see, they had a secret occult society called the Rosicrucians, which is global and powerful and worldwide. The Rosicrucians, under Bacon's leadership, evolved into what was called the Illuminati. The Illuminati ran the world in America. Thus, it could be said that Sir Francis Bacon was part of the Illuminati Rosicrucian movement that ruled America and the world. So, Sir Francis Bacon helped secretly finance these permanent English settlements with Dutch people and the French and the English, where they secretly smuggled in entire sailing ships and many pilgrims and Puritans, male and female, but who were not Bible-believing pilgrims and Puritans. They were occultists. So a significant contingent of occultists, Rosicrucians, Illuminati members, Freemasons, they snuck into America along with the Pilgrim and Puritan colonists. Wake up and smell the coffee. Bacon, I'm reading page 292 of my book, The Greatest Battle. See, men should be sitting around, boys, women, or whatever, having a Bible study, even if it's only 8 people, 10 people, 15, 20 people, studying this, because all these books that I've written go together. You have no clue about what history is about from a biblical perspective if nobody ever taught you this. And this is not irrelevant stuff. You ought to go to paulmaguire.us and get yourself a bundle discount. And then by faith, begin to read this together and teach it together. I've even considered hooking up electronically with people if the group is large enough, only because it's very difficult to grab time and do all the millions of things that I have to do. So if the group of people who want to join the Bible study is some, doesn't have to be a giant number, but some legitimate number, I would consider, because I want to spread, my goal is to spread this, to set people on fire, to spread the truth. Okay, so let me read what I put down in this chapter in my book, The Greatest Battle. So, Sir Francis Bacon gave purpose to the enterprise. That purpose was to seed American people, leaders, and money that directed America into becoming the new Atlantis that Bacon envisioned. Now, let's read this very carefully. Again, this is a documented quote about Bacon from my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And my source is the premier occult secret society historical research, Manly P. Hall. Okay? And Hall writes that the purpose of Bacon sneaking in Rosicrucians and Illuminati and occultists into America, that the hidden agenda behind that was to seed, S-E-E-D, American people, leaders, and money that directed America into becoming the new Atlantis that Bacon envisioned. So you see, Bacon, the occultist, was seeding the colonists, was seeding the bankers, was seeding the wealthy people, was seeding people themselves. And what they were trying to do was literally hijack the vision of the Pilgrims and Puritans who were biblical. And Bacon had this occult belief that the occult purpose of America was to become the new Atlantis, or the head of the new world order in the last days. That's what's going on here. Okay. I'll continue to read my book with all the source. Bacon quickly realized that here in the new world was the proper environment for the accomplishment of his great dream, the establishment of a new Atlantis. Look, I don't know whether Atlantis actually existed or not. I don't think anybody knows. I'm not saying it didn't, but Sir Francis Bacon, one of the most powerful scientists, political, and occult leaders in the world, believed that America was to become the new Atlantis in the last days. All right? And that America, as the new Atlantis in the last days, was to be what was called a philosophical empire, or empire built on intelligence, knowledge, reason, the very things that Christians hate. You know, if you were the devil, and you're not, and I'm not, thank God, but what a brilliant strategy. The devil takes God's people, who are genetically intelligent, because God created them, but then the devil sows seeds in their minds and causes their brains to become stupid after time. What a wicked, hideous plot that is. Okay. So Bacon created this empire based on the ideas of the New Atlantis. And the idea is this. In the ancient super civilization called the New Atlantis, the New Atlantis, which we read all about the New Atlantis from the Greek philosopher Plato, the New Atlantis was a utopian world, heaven on earth, with a rulership of 12 philosopher kings, or 12 scientific kings, or 12 god kings. Very interesting, huh? Very similar to other governing structures. And it was built on humanism, logic, reason, science, art, and philosophy. But here's the part that where it goes schizophrenic. While it was simultaneously all those scientific things, it was also simultaneously hardcore occultic, Luciferian, and satanic principles. So Bacon would have exceeded the most brilliant intellectuals of our time. And then Manly P. Hall writes these sobering words. The history books tell us that the colonists made the long and dangerous journey in small ships in order to find a place where they could worship God, each according to the dictates of his own conscience. There is, however, much more to the story than our historians have dared to suggest. What Hall is saying is that you're not going to find anything in terms of deep truth in school systems. You're going to get nothing but silly putty, okay, or Legoland toys in the school system. You're not going to get any depth or truth. So, there was a secret infiltration of America. It's never talked about, and Christians are oblivious to it. And so on page 293 of my book, The Greatest Battle, I write, the history books tell us that the colonists made the long and dangerous journey in small ships in order to find a place where they could worship God. Among the coloners were some who belonged to the Order of the Quest, that's a Freemasonic secret society, the occult movement that Francis Bacon championed. However, it was not long before religious strife broke out in the colonies. And so there was a battle between, like, the occultists and the fervent Christians, right? And then Francis Bacon had this secret occult society that was set up in America in the middle of the 17th century. And he circumvented the biblical education that the Pilgrims and Puritans were disseminating. And Sir Francis Bacon countered this by indoctrinating the colonists with the humanistic and occultic principles of religious tolerance, political democracy, and social equality. And then they borrowed the teachings, Bacon did. He borrowed the teachings of the Enlightenment and the French Revolution. Now, it's important that you read this book because you go from here in the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And if I was to read backwards, which is not the best way of reading it, you discover how there is a direct line between the French Revolution, the occult humanists like the philosophers Voltaire and Rousseau, the bloody French Revolution, the goddess of reason. All of this is like a matrix that when you put the pieces together, it's like you see a very clear portrait of Satan destroying all nations built on Judeo-Christian principles. That's the desire to destroy them. So that's where we are here. All of this stuff has been accelerating and multiplying in power. God's people, it is not the will of God right now at this particular time period for God's people to repeat the years of stupidity that they indulged in as evangelical Christians. It's now time for God's people to understand the signs of the times. And it's up to God's people now to become educated in every area of life, including the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, including the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's up to God's people to reclaim America, reclaim the world by penetrating all areas of our world and society with the creativity of God, the truth of God, the word of God, the saving message of Christ, and on and on. Because you see, that's why I called my book The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. All the battles that are external, whether a nation is a massive prison camp and dictatorship, whether a nation is a hellhole that gives everybody a social credit score on a computer and follows each individual with a drone, that's hell on earth, man. That's where we're going. Unless God's people rise to the occasion by faith, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will supernaturally equip every one of his children to be everything they were created to become. And so they can become men and women of intellectual, entrepreneurial, artistic, creative, business excellence. They can become people with a great knowledge of how to apply the Word of God and the principles of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we're getting closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ is the supernatural bride of Christ. And God has a mission for us to accomplish in the time period or the time zone before he comes. I encourage you to visit paulmcguire.us. I want to thank each and every one of you who pray for me. My family and this ministry. I praise God for you. I pray for you guys too, as a people, right? I want to thank God for all of you who spread our links and our locations and our messages far and wide. Thank you for doing that. And finally, I want to thank each and every one of you for whatever gift, contribution, or donation you've given in the past or you're going to give in the future. I want to thank you for being humble and childlike in your faith and simply asking God, God, how much do you want to give? You wait on God. And I want to thank you for simply being the kind of man and woman who does whatever God says to do. And whatever he tells you to give, give. Do it. I want to thank God for that. I don't take any of that for granted. Because together, you see, you would not be giving. You would not be praying. You would not be diligent if you did not share that same passion of the Holy Spirit in you that I have. And you would not be joining with me and helping me finance this outreach if you did not sense that fire in your bones and that deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. The reason you and I are on fire together in partnership over this divine assignment is because you sense the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ on it. It's like I sense the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ on it. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Make sure you go down the screen, copy and paste all of the links. We've added about 50% more new links at paulmcguire.us. We've expanded our social media and internet outreaches. If you want to connect with us and not wake up one morning and find out, gee, they disappeared off the air, which is what happened a couple of weeks ago when we were censored for preaching the Bible, you want to stay connected with us, you must regularly check the paulmcguire.us page and check those links to all the different audio and video outlets we have. And I might just say, as trying to be helpful, if there's other people that are feeding your soul and your spirit and encouraging you to do what God is calling you to do, I would suggest you would write down and copy and paste their information. Because very powerful sources, very powerful, have developed operating policies to censor us off the internet simply because it's Christianity. So visit paulmcguire.us and remember, where two or more of us are gathered, there he is. If we're gathered in his name, then there he is, Jesus Christ. He's gathered in the midst of us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.